And I received an unusual request, and it's something you might have wondered yourself. And I was asked, how do you deal with militant atheists? And so I want to address the subject that God does not believe in atheists. And so you can see Mr. T up there saying no fools allowed. And I think most of us understand what atheism is. But in case you don't, Webster's New World Dictionary says that atheism is the belief that there is no God or denial that God or gods exist. So an atheist simply is someone who does not believe that there is a God. Now, the request I had was to deal with militant atheists, those who get in your face as a Christian, and what do? So before I deal with those, though, I need to tell you that there are two types of atheists. First, there are atheists who are genuinely seeking the truth, and while they don't believe that there is a God, they're open to the possibility that they might be wrong, and they are genuinely seeking the truth. For this type of atheist, I would encourage you to share the truth and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've had many discussions over the years with these types of atheists. These are the ones of whom God spoke in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, when the Lord said, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And so engage those in the discussions, those who are truly seeking to find the truth. There's lots of examples of these type of atheists. Last Sunday, I quoted the great C.S. Lewis, and many of you have read much of his writings over the years. A great man of faith. But did you know that C.S. Lewis started out as an atheist? When he first came to Oxford University in England, he was an atheist. His mother had died when he was 9 years old, and the rest of his life was spent in boarding schools. C.S. Lewis had no belief in God and no use for God in his life. But while he was at Oxford, he met a man who would become his dear friend. And this man loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he loved C.S. Lewis as a brother, and he just shared his faith over and over again, and they would stay up all night long having lengthy discussions. By the way, does anybody know who led C.S. Lewis to Christ? J.R.R. Tolkien. You go, I know that name. Yeah, he's the writer of The Hobbit, The Lord of the Ring series of books. Surprise, surprise for some of you. All right? But Tolkien, along with other friends, would stay up and share with C.S. Lewis, and they would encourage him and challenge him to investigate the authenticity of the Bible and the claims of Scripture. And C.S. Lewis, being the type of atheist that would seek the truth, he did just that. And it was through his own investigation and study that Lewis realized the truth of who Jesus is and the gospel of Christ and the veracity of the Word of God. And Lewis moved from being an atheist to one of the greatest Christian minds to ever live on the face of the earth. There are lots of brilliant people who started out as atheists and became great followers of Christ. Some of the most notable in our day and time and life has been men like Josh McDowell, Lee Strobel, great Christian authors that defend the faith. Another one, an atheist turned criminal, political criminal, prisoner in jail, and became a great defender of faith, Charles Colson. Chuck Colson was one. Actors. Kirk Cameron comes to mind. Another great actor that started out as an atheist that came to faith was Charlton Heston. He was an atheist when he portrayed Moses in the Ten Commandment movies, But later on in life, he became a believer in Jesus Christ. Did you know that Barbara Bush was an atheist in her younger years? But she became a follower of Jesus Christ. Corrie Ten Boom, a name we know from many Christian circles. And even actresses such as Connie Sullivan are believers who started out as atheists. What did all these people do, and others, thousands more like them? They simply were open to receiving truth, and they studied out the Bible and its authenticity and the claims of Christ. They sought to find God with all their heart, and God kept his promise of Jeremiah 29:13, and they found him. But today I want to deal with the second type of atheist. That's the militant atheist. Those who attack people of faith through ridicule and persecution. These are the same ones that want to wipe out all traces of religion and faith from all public and private life. These are the folks that believe all religion is evil and is a scourge and should be removed completely from the face of planet Earth. So let's get to the heart of the question. I would encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 2, the second psalm, and let's look at why are many atheists so militant. Why do they get in your face? I like this picture because it describes their attitude. They're just in your face screaming at you. And I want you to know that this is a question. Why are so many atheists militant? This is a question that is not new to our day. It's been asked and asked for centuries. The psalmist in Psalm 2 asked this question. How did he ask it? Well, in the New American Standard, you can read where it says, "Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing?" That's a good translation, but this is one of those times where I think the King James Version captures the essence of the Hebrew a little better here. In the King James Version, this same verse reads, "Why do the heathen rage? Why are they raging and the people imagine a vain thing?" Now, let's move along in Psalm chapter 2 and look at the next few verses. Look at verses 2 through 4. The psalmist goes on to say, here is why so many atheists, so many of these heathen that are raging, here's why they rage, here's why they're so militant. "The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers," and "the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying," and here's the reason, "let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us." And look at God's response. "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them." Do you see the reason why? They want to be free from the fetters. You know what fetters are? They're chains. They want to be set free from the chains and the cords. What are cords? The ropes. They believe that God has and his moral constructs has put them in chains and tied them up with ropes. And they want to break free and live their life as they please. These are the kind of folks that the Apostle Paul described this way in Philippians 3 and verse 19. When Paul said of these folks, they are the ones whose end is destruction, and notice this, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. You see, the militant atheist does have a God, but his God is himself, specifically his own appetites of the flesh. And how dare anybody try to impose upon me what is right and what is wrong. What Psalm 2 is revealing to us is that all their bluster, all their bullying for the militant atheist is just a coping mechanism which hides their fears, their insecurities, and their rebellion against God. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 that deep down, they know that God exists, for God has revealed himself through all of creation. The militant atheist who holds so tightly to these things such as evolution, they claim to be so scientific in mind, but yet they know deep down they are making a huge leap of faith, much greater than any leap of faith that any of us ever make in trusting in the God of Scripture and the Scripture themselves. And so, in other words, for them to live out their atheism, they have to overcompensate for their insecurities and the holes in their logic. And so what happens is they project hostility toward those who do believe in God. It's a way of not having to face the truth. It's a way of numbing themselves from facing the reality, because if they don't numb themselves from that, they'll go insane. So recognize the militant atheist for what he really is. He's a scared bully whistling past the graveyard. Y'all understand the term whistling past the graveyard? For you young people, let me give you background of that, what that means, okay? Let's say there was a man one time who always said, "I'm the bravest person in the world and nothing scares me." And somebody said, "Well, why won't you walk past the graveyard, the cemetery, down the dark road at night? Are you afraid?" And he goes, no, I'm not afraid." "Well, prove it." And so he starts walking down the dark country road by the cemetery in the middle of the night. And, you know, and he's getting along, and that fear's starting to rise up inside him, so he's just kind of like, he's kind of whistling. He's like trying to keep his mind off of the cemetery that's next to him, distracting his mind. That's what they're doing. I also have another way of referring to those who are militant in their atheism, and I like to call this the Don Quixote syndrome. All right. Remember the story of Don Quixote by Cervantes? Okay. Interesting read if you've never read it. Don Quixote envisioned himself as this great warrior, this great fighter. But he had nobody to fight. And so in his mind, as he traveled, he envisioned that the windmills were enemy soldiers. And so in that picture there, you see in the imagination of his mind how windmills became enemy soldiers. And so he would attack the windmills as if they were his enemies. Now, of course, the reality is that the windmill is just a windmill. The windmill is not an enemy of anybody. Here's the Don Quixote syndrome for the atheist. If what the atheist says, that there is no God, if that is really his belief, then the atheist would leave people of faith alone. After all, if God did not exist, then how could he be their enemy? And if God does not exist, how could the people who believe in God be an enemy to the atheist? An atheist that truly believes there's no God, all they're going to believe about us is that we're just deluded or crazy. Therefore, if an atheist believes, truly down inside believes there is no God, and yet is always confrontational and militant towards Christianity and Christians, he's like Don Quixote. He's got that syndrome. The Christian's not his enemy. And it's all made up in his mind. Of course, we know that God is real. And militant atheists do too, deep down inside. Because if they didn't, why are there so many organizations that they have established to remove God from public life? If God wasn't real, then why do they have to spend so much time debating and debating and debating, trying to prove he doesn't exist? Again, if he believes what he says he believes, then he wouldn't be running around with the Don Quixote syndrome. So that's why atheists are so militant. So many of them are, not all of them. Let's look at the second aspect I want us to examine. What's God's opinion of militant atheists? Well, we have already seen in Psalm 2 and verse 4 that God says, "He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them." But let's look a little more closely at what the Lord says about the atheist. And you find this verse, Psalm 14, verse 1. Such an important verse that it's repeated in Psalm 53 in verse 1. You get this verse twice exactly in the Psalms. And this verse just simply says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good." What God says here is that God doesn't believe in atheists. He calls them for what he sees them to be, fools. I was talking to Richard before service, and he was asking me if I was going to share what the atheist's national holiday is, and I told him I hadn't planned on it, but he reminded me it's April 1. Okay? All right? But I want you to look at the irony when you think about Psalm 14:1 or Psalm 53:1. Think about the irony. Militant atheists believe that people like us are fools. Yet God is saying, he turns it back around on them, and God is saying the real fool is the atheist who rejects the truth no matter how much evidence is presented. Again, the Don Quixote syndrome. Only a fool would spend so much time and energy fighting something that he doesn't believe exists. Militant atheist will tell you, "I don't have a religion." Yes, he does. He has a system of belief based on humanistic philosophy. And what he is doing is, as the picture shows, he is the ostrich burying his head in the sand. And if you try to share the truth with this person will shout you down. This person will say, "Shut up," to you, or some other insult. And if you keep on trying to share evidence of God with this person, he's just like the little kid. He's going to put his fingers in his ears. He's going to go, "La, la, 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 la. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you." Burying head in the sand. What does this mean for us? So when the militant atheist comes at you, folks, you can just smile. You can just love them. And realize they're like Don Quixote tilting at windmills. And also remember this. When they say they don't believe in God, God's not depending on whether or not they believe in him or not. Yes, The world's filled with all kinds of evil and wickedness and tragedy, and that's one of the reasons they claim God doesn't exist. But, you know, blasphemies, wars, famines, heartache, tragedies, all of those things come and go as the result of the sin of mankind. But yet through it all, God remains. And Christ remains. And Jesus just says, look, here's what we need to do. He says to us, he said, humble yourself before the Lord. Because if you don't, eventually you're going to get ground into powder. Look at Matthew 21:44. This is from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I like the way it handles this verse. Jesus talking about the stone of stumbling, how so many people will stumble over the matter of having faith in Christ. And he refers to himself as the stone. And he says, whoever falls on this stone or trips over this stone will be broken to pieces. But on whoever it falls, it will grind him to powder. So we know why the militant atheist attacks. And we know what God thinks of them. But I got to get to the question I was asked. So they are now in response, what do we do as followers of Christ with the militant atheist? And that brings us to the third point. What should you do when confronted by a militant atheist? Again, remember, I'm talking about the militant ones, not the ones who are truly seeking to find the truth. Did you know that the Bible has wonderful examples for us that illustrate how we are to live as Christians? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that surprising? Did you know that if you're having to deal with this, you're not the first one? Did you know the Apostle Paul had to deal with this too? Look in your Bibles in Acts chapter 9. Now, you won't see atheist or militant in this passage, but that's what it is. In Acts chapter 9, verses 28 through 30, let's set the scene. The Apostle Paul, he's a fairly new Christian. The early part of the chapter is when he gets saved, when the Lord appears to him on the road to Damascus. And Paul, as a newly saved believer who's on fire for God, and he had been a persecutor of the church, now he's a preacher for the church. And everybody he sees, he's telling them about Jesus. Well, that stirs up a little opposition. And so we see in Acts 9, verse 28, that he, Paul, was with them, talking about with the believers, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And here it comes. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. That's his hometown. Do you see it there? Paul is talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews. Who are the Hellenistic Jews? These were Jewish people who were ethnically, racially Jewish in their background. But you see, they have rejected all of their religious roots. They were Jewish secular humanists. And they were called Hellenistic because they culturally identified with the Greek culture, those of whom Paul wrote in Philippians 3:19, whose God is their appetite. Folks, these are practicing atheists, is what they are. They don't believe that God exists. That's why they're Hellenistic. And they're all up in Paul's face about it. All up in his grill because he's sharing Jesus. And it's ticking them off. Notice how it progresses in this passage too. Notice at first it says Paul was talking with these folks. You see that? First he's talking with them. He's trying to have a discussion with them about matters of faith. But what happens? Do you see the progression? See how it escalates? And arguing. It moves from trying to have a discussion to an argument. What happens when you have an argument? People start getting mad. And so what did the Hellenistic, these atheistic Jews want to do with the Apostle Paul when they started arguing with him and got mad? They wanted to kill him. So what did those who were more mature in the faith, the older believers, what did they do with Paul? They said, let's get you out of here. See, you're not, Paul, you're not going to convince these people. They're just getting angry. And by staying here and arguing, you're making the situation worse. They're twisting their arguments around and getting hot under the collar. And all that's happening here is you're going to begin going down the pathway of destruction. And so let's move you on down the road, Paul. The psalmist speaks of folks like this. We just want to argue. And it says there's nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. They're just bent in their heart on destruction. And I love how Psalm 5:9 also describes their arguments. He says their throat is an open grave. Nothing good's going to come out of it. Wise King Solomon told us that trying to have a reasonable discussion with folks like this is useless. Proverbs 26 and verse 4 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him." Now remember, fool is what God in Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1 said of the person who says there's no God. So if you're talking to one of these folks, and they're just wanting to argue and argue, Solomon says, don't get drawn into that argument, or you're going to be just as foolish as he is. Don't do it. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. But then, the very next verse, verse 5, Solomon isn't changing his mind here. He gives us instruction, how do we handle that situation? He says, answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. So, when the militant atheist, the one the Bible says is a fool, when the militant atheist gets up in your face about it and is wanting to pick an argument or a fight with you, you answer in the way that his folly, his foolishness deserves. And what is that? You just firmly say, I'm not going to get drawn into an argument. It's obvious you're not willing to budge one inch. I'm not going to budge one inch. I'm not going to compromise my faith in God. And you're not going to budge off of your stance that there is no God. You're closed to the possibility that God exists. You're not willing to consider other possibilities. And so, have a nice day. You know, Jesus gave us the same instructions. So don't go, well, that's Old Testament. Well, yes, it is. Still the Word of God. But if you're just one of these New Testament folks, they've got to have something from the New Testament. Jesus says of this, do not give what is holy to dogs, And do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Dogs aren't interested in truth, only their appetite. Pigs aren't interested in your pearls of truth. They're just intent on turning and tearing you to pieces. They'll trample those wonderful pearls of wisdom, Jesus said, right into the mud, because they're just interested in getting at you, and their appetite is so great that they don't want any food they've got that you might have. They want you. They want to eat you. Solomon, back to Solomon. Solomon gives us these words of wisdom as well. In Proverbs 20 and verse 3. Keeping away from strife, and that's arguments. Keeping away from arguments or strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel or argue. So let's get to where the rubber hits the pavement, where the rubber meets the road. I'm going to give you a few simple steps. So what do you do with the militant atheist in conclusion? Don't argue with them. Just don't. Don't do it. Heed the advice of Solomon. Heed the command of Jesus. Don't do it. Refuse to be baited into an argument. They may mock you, insult you, and all that. All that is, they're trying to bait you to draw you in into their trap. Don't go for the bait. Don't argue. Secondly, while they are defying a God with a heart filled with hate and rebellion, now this is counterproductive, but remember what Jesus said about don't give what's holy to the dogs, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Don't waste your time trying to share the gospel. That's the one instance where you're just wasting your time. And the Lord says, don't do it. It's pointless to do so. Jesus illustrated this truth as well in the parable of the sower and the soil. Remember, the sower comes along and he's casting out his seed, and there's different types of soil. And there's the soil of the hard heart. It's the hard, packed soil. And the seed just falls. And the seed is the Word of God, the gospel. The seed just falls on the hard, packed soil. And what does Jesus say happens to that seed? The bird comes along and snatches it away. And then Jesus goes on to say, the bird is the enemy, Satan. If you try to plant seed on hard soil, it's wasted breath. Wasted time. All right? Well, what do I do then? I care about this person. I want this person to be saved. Guess what? God loves this person more than you do. Guess what? God wants this person to be saved. Remember 2 Peter 3:9, it's God's will that none should perish, that all should be saved. God wants this person to be saved. So what do we do? This brings us to the third step. Pray for God's mercy on this person, and pray and ask God's Spirit to bring conviction. Back to that hard soil. Pray for God's Spirit to take the plow of conviction and begin plowing and breaking up that hard soil so it can receive the seed of the Word, the seed of the gospel. Don't try to do what only God can do. And you're not going to break through that hard heart, but God can. And so you pray that God will have mercy and that God's Spirit will bring conviction to this person. You also are safe in praying that God even brings circumstances, whatever it takes, into this person's life to begin to break up that hardened soil, so they can receive the promise and the hope of the gospel. Number one, don't argue with them. Refuse to be baited into their argument. Number two, don't waste your time trying to share the gospel with somebody whose heart is so hard they can't receive it. Number three, pray and ask God to be merciful, for God to convict them, for God to break that hard soil up. And fourthly and finally, leave the door open for the future time that this person might want to become a seeker rather than an assassin. This person may heap hatred on you. This person may attack you, insult you. Just love them back. Just love them. The Bible says that'll heap coals on their head. If you just love them, you leave the door open. You leave that bridge unburned so that later, if they are open to seeking God, that person may come back to you or to another believer, that you can burn the bridge down for other believers sharing their faith too. So what am I saying is, you don't go, well, you're just stupid, or you're just dumb. Those are insults. Never belittle anybody. Be careful how you handle the truth. Well, the Bible says you're just a fool. They're not going to receive that. Okay? But if you'll follow those four steps, you'll be able to handle it. And by keeping those four steps, who knows? One day, that assassin might become a seeker. And you never know. Maybe that person will be the next C.S. Lewis. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the hope that we have in the gospel of Christ. And Lord, for the person that's struggling and with a militant atheist, Lord, I have a suspicion that that person's not alone, God, because so many of us, I know I have as well, have dealt with this issue in the past. And Lord, I pray for us as your children that you'd give us wisdom in how to deal with that. Because, Father, we truly do love these people. Lord, our desire is for them to be saved. And Lord, we know that's your will as well. And so, Father, give us the grace and the love and the peace. And Father, and I pray that you would be merciful for those who are so militant against us, God, that they would see your love through us and come one day in faith to Christ. And God, that you would be gracious enough to prolong their days on this earth to give them every chance to come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand for our invitation.